Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Jalila 1, Rupa Goswami's second meeting with the Lord. Text number 1.
Pangam Nangayati Sairam Mukham Avartaya Shrutim Yat Kripatam Vande Krishna Chaitanya Viswaram.
Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. Text number 2.
Durgame patinendasya skalapadagatirmuho svakripayastidanena santasantavalambanam.
My path is very difficult. I'm blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, may the saints help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support.
Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raghuna Sri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raghuna Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raghuna Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghuna
He
Chai Guru Karan Charana Vanda
Ya
Vaita Vigna Nasa Abhistapura
He
Chai Guru Karan Charana Vanda Yaita Vidyanasa Abhistapura Shri Rup Sanatan Bhataraguna Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasaraguna Echai Guru Karan Charana Vanda Abhistapura Shri Rupa Sanatan Bhataraguna Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasaraguna Echai Guru Karan Charana Vanda Yavaita Vijnanasa Abhistapura Shirupa,
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 Sanatan,
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 Bhataraguna,
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 Shijiva,
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 Gopabhata,
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 Dasaraguna,
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 Echai,
D6,
Guru,
of spiritual masters,
Karan, I offer, Charanavanda,
prayers to the lotus feet,
Yahaite,
from which,
Vignanasa,
destruction of all impediments,
Abhistapura,
fulfillment of desires.
Translation. I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. Purport. If one wants to benefit the entire world, he will certainly find persons like hogs and pigs who will put forward many impediments. That is natural. But if a devotee seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Nevertheless, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated and the transcendental devotional service, the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So here we are beginning the Antya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada, or Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is again giving us a Mangalacharan, or again a number of introductory verses, just as he did at the beginning of the book. It says that Mangalacharan is to invoke auspiciousness. One is invoking the blessings of various personalities, one is offering obeisances to various personalities, and one is also establishing the purpose of the book. So obeisances, blessings, and purpose are the three things that a Mangalacharan is trying to attain. So these verses are part of the Mangalacharan. So first of all, Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining that a devotee becomes empowered. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. So, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is basically, after he speaks about that empowerment, he speaks about his normal condition. He's explaining that actually I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again on the path, and the path is very difficult. So basically it applies to me, a lame man, a blind man, a dumb man, all these things apply to me. But by the mercy of the saints, or of the devotees, they grant me the stick of their mercy as support. Then he classifies in the next verse who these devotees are in particular. Yes, he turns to all Vaishnavas, but especially to the six Goswamis. Because the six Goswamis, they are the immediate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are the extension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not give us any books in writing. There are no written teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu other than the Sikshastakam, which are verses that we find in the, for the first time, in the Pajavali, in the verse book of Rupa Goswami. And there we find them not all together, the way that we learn them. We find them interspersed in between other verses. The only time that we find them together like one unit is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the last chapter has put them all together, and along with an explanation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Sikshastakam verses. So in that way, they are very much presented like one unit, and with a progression in the verses and so on, and that is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's contribution, because before in the Pajavali, they were just individual verses here and there in the book. So basically, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami and to Srila Sanatana Goswami in particular. And these instructions are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, in those days, they didn't have tape recorders, webcams, internet, and all those kind of things. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, it wasn't that everything was recorded. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami didn't have transcripts to work from or anything like that, that he could work into the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He didn't have much information, actually, about what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu literally said to Rupa and Sanatana. So he reconstructed these conversations with the information that he had. So what did he do in the discussions or the instructions to Sanatana Goswami? He simply took the knowledge from the nectar of devotion, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and just summarized that, took like main verses from there, which sort of gave the process from Shraddha to Prem, and cut and pasted it, literally cut and pasted it into the chapter, into the CC. Of course, it wasn't that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to Rupa Goswami, literally, as it is there in the chapter. But rather, what he did, he gave the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, which is summarized in the writings of Rupa Goswami. And it said, Rupa Goswami is the direct replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami's Siddhanta, as he presented, fully represents the Siddhanta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, whatever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching is that substance of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami decided to do it in that way, because he didn't have more information. Such is the relationship between the six Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they're fully transparent to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also Nana Shastra Vichara Naikadipalo Saddharma Sanstapako, that upon the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they scrutinized all the Vedic literature, and they drew from the Vedic literatures all kinds of evidence to support the teachings that they had received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in other words, they took what they got from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and elaborated that. Sarup Damodar Goswami, who is another very important personality in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, being the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being identified in the Gauranga's Deepika as none other than Lalita Devi herself, Sarup Damodar Goswami was, in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ultimate Shastric authority. And he explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he resolved all the confusion that had arisen about different debates on scripture. And he made it so crystal clear that everyone then could understand that not only was the Siddhanta presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely logical, and not only was it a direct interpretation of the scripture, which is the superior one, it is said if you, in interpretation of a text, sometimes the direct explanation doesn't make sense, and then you need to add some interpretation. For example, the house on the Ganga. And the house on the Ganga. The house is not on the Ganga. The house is on the banks of the Ganga. But if you say we have a house on the Ganga, it means on the banks of the Ganga. But we just say on the Ganga in language. So then interpretation is required. Right? And one in the translation may write the house on the banks of the Ganga. or understand it in that way. So there is Mukhya Vritti and Guna Vritti. Guna Vritti is the direct interpretation of the text, and Mukhya is the secondary interpretation. So we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his explanation was direct. So that is the better one. If you can explain direct, consider the better one. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation of scripture was completely direct. It was completely logical. But third and foremost, it was also satisfying the heart. Rupa Goswami expresses that. He says, what is the point of the arrow of a hunter or of the words of a poet if it doesn't pierce the heart and make the head spin? Yeah. So what is the point of the Chaitanya Charitamrita if it doesn't touch the heart? So, therefore Krishnadas received the title Kaviraj, because he was such a poet who could give the truth as it is, but at the same time in a way that he was able to pierce the heart. Srila Rupa, Sanatan and Jiva Goswami, they were the main writers amongst the six Goswamis. Srila Gopal Bhatta was very scholarly. He was from South India, and he collected so many notes from scripture. You know, one may again wonder how the Goswamis were able to write in literatures that had such a broad reference to so many scriptures. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika. They were quoting from so many scriptures. How could they do it? I mean, first of all, they were very, very learned themselves. Second of all, they had, over the years, made many notes on scripture. And they kept these notes. Third of all, many Vaishnavas who remained anonymous brought them quotes from scriptures. They were assisting them. It was the work of many Vaishnavas who all supported them. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was very learned, and he was making many notes from many scriptures. And these notes, they played a big part in the writings. Like Sanatana Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilas. When, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed Sanatana Goswami in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then he taught him to write a book on Sada Achar, or the behavior of the Vaishnava or Vaishnava etiquette. And Sanatana Goswami wrote that book in the form of the Hari Bhakti Vilas. However, if we read in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is a reference where it says that Gopal Bhatta Goswami is the author. So there is a lot of argument about that. Who wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas? Is it Sanatana Goswami? Yes, it is Sanatana Goswami, but along with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But Sanatana Goswami, he basically gave the idea of how the book should be constructed, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami did a lot of the work by collecting many, many notes from many scriptures and so on. And in this, but basically the outline of the thesis was presented by Sanatana Goswami. That is why he is considered the author, and Gopal Bhatta is in a supporting role. Of course, one could go for the compromise and say co-authors. But the principal author is Sanatana Goswami. It's his book. His conception, based on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that Gopabhatta Goswami, in that way, was supportive. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was famous for his lecturing and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He was giving amazing lectures on the Bhagavatam. He is a powerful speaker. Of course, Raghunath Das also wrote a number of literatures about the more esoteric topics, more internal knowledge. He wrote about particularly Radha Dasya. He explained that the service of Srimati Radharani is considered higher than the service to Krishna by a particular group of gopis, and that in the Rama Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, that is the ultimate objective. He explained. Why is it so? It is said that there are amongst the gopis, there are different groups, different yutas. Each yuta has a yuteswari, has a leader. And there are different groups of devotees or gopis. Some are the direct party of Srimati Radharani. Other groups are Surit Paksha. They are friends of Srimati Radharani. And then there are those who are neutral. And then there are those who are in competition. So, it is said Radharani's own party is headed up by Lalita. And that is our Lalita is then assisted by Rupa Manjari. You have Radha Krishna, then the Astasakis around them, and then the next circle would be the Manjaris. So it is said that the Astasakis, they are a direct extension of Srimati Radharani, and therefore in the Shakti Tattva category, they are not jivas. They are not living beings. The jivas then can obtain the position of Manjaris. And Rupa Manjari is the leader. And among the Astasakis, Lalita is the leader. So, if we look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represents Radhani Krishna, non-different. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita. And Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So we can see how our line is that we are in the party of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, Gopi Bharta Pada Kamalayur Dasana 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 Das, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, which are then divided up. So some groups are the competitive groups of gopis are trying to please Krishna directly. Whereas the Radha Dasya group, or the group of Srimati Radharani, will say no. Radharani can please Krishna the best. So let's push her forward. Let her serve Krishna. Let me put the superior forward. So within the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is this mood to put the superior forward. Not to say, I'll serve Krishna directly. No, no. I'll serve Krishna through the superior. And that superior will serve Krishna to his superior, and on and on and on, his or her superior, on and on and on, all the way to Srimati Radharani. And Gopi Bhaktapada Kamalaya Dasana Dasana Das, that I am the servant of the Lord 100 times removed. 100 times removed means through the other servant. So this spirit is the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And very essential, an essential point to understand that creates this spirit of humility. So in our disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis were the principal theologians. They were developing the basic books. In the beginning, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he became, after the sannyas initiation ceremony, he became completely ecstatic. He became overwhelmed. Waves of love of God were appearing, and he just danced, and everyone had been so depressed to see this young man take sannyas. Such an age, my God, so young and so handsome. Oh my God, he has such beautiful long hair. The barber couldn't shave him. He couldn't do it. Oh, I can't. But somehow or other, his hand did it. His hand did it. His hand shaved the hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It, while he was shaking, his heart broke, and he swore never, never to shave anyone again. He became a sweet maker after that. And the hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so extraordinary, it was kept in a samadhi. Later, after, at the end of his life, that barber was also placed there in samadhi, next to the hair. You can go to Katwa, the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and you can see those two samadhis, the samadhi of the hair and the samadhi of the barber. Like this, it is all going on. Anyway, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas, there was a mood of depression at the time. How can such a handsome young man take sannyas at such a young age? It's just terrible. But then, at the end of the ceremony, he became so ecstatic, all the love of God that it was bottled up in his heart just burst out, and he just danced and danced and danced, and all the people just became swept up, and they danced and danced and danced. In case of a party, the Mayavadi Sannyasi, he was just beyond himself, beyond himself. And it went on like that. After sannyas, again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to preach, and wherever he went, he just danced so ecstatically that whole villages just went mad, and everyone was just dancing, and people went back to their village, and then the rest of the village would also dance in ecstasy, like that. The wave was washing all over South India as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did an entire tour. But that was it. That was it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would argue on the basis of scripture. He was a Vaishnava. He was teaching from scripture. But there was nothing to really identify any movement. There was no institution around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were no initiations. So how do you connect to him? How do you become his follower? It's like there were no initiations, there were no temples or places of worship where the devotees would gather, and there were no books. So there was nothing like, what do you become part of? There's not. See, here you have it, you know, place of worship, Radhesh, okay, books, Sri Prabhupada's books, that, and lots of initiations with, you know, members and all this. So now it's clearly identifiable. You can be part of something. But in the beginning, the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not There was no element of institutional, there was no organization, nothing. Then the six Goswamis, they provided that. They provided the scripture, they were sent to Vrindavan, started with Rupa Sanatana, and they started places of worship. They founded temples in Vrindavan, they excavated holy places, and in this way, they created a hub for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That, and we can see that that's what happened. Because when you go to Vrindavan these days, Anik Lokta Bangla Bhutta Pari, Shravai Bangla Bhutta Pari. It is in a Hindi area, in UP. Lekin Lokta Li Bhutta Hai, Sunta Hai, 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 Hai. Not just Hindi, no, no. Bhutta Pari, Kichu Bangla Bhutta Pari. So many Bengalis. The place is swamped with Bengalis. Half of Vrindavan are Bengalis. And a lot of the literature is Bengali. In fact, if you want to study the writings of the Goswamis, you find most of them in Bengali, not in Hindi. In Bangla, yes. So in this way, we see that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, came from Bengal and settled in Vrindavan, because Rupa and Sanatan and the other Goswamis, they created the foundation, they created the temple, they created the temples, the books that, the initiations, where people could connect, and the Bengalis came, but in huge numbers, went to Vrindavan and started, and in particular, they brought this mood of Radha Dasya, which I explained we find in the writings of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So, very important to understand these things a little bit. How the Gaudiyas are unique in Vrindavan. There are many Vaishnavas. But how the Gaudiyas ultimately are having the highest understanding of how to please Krishna. Because Krishna, says Achyuta, he never fails to notice any service by any devotee. Devotional service is Sri Krishna Akarsani. It attracts Krishna. Krishna is always attracted to any devotee who performs a little bit of devotional service. Always. But when Srimati Radharani is there, Krishna can only see her. He forgets everybody else. He will only see her. Just like we find that Srila Rupa Goswami, he writes, we are now here beginning the Antyalila, the first chapter. And this chapter is a discussion between Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is identified by Kavikarna Pur as Vishaka. Ramananda Rai is very learned. Ramananda Rai is very, very expert in understanding this Rasa Tattva that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. And Ramananda Rai is very familiar with Shastra, arts, and poetry. So when Rupa Goswami is writing, he is writing a play. So Rupa Goswami initially had an idea to write a play about the pastimes of Krishna. And then he was in a place called Satyabhamapur, the place where Satyabhama appeared. And then in Satyabhamapur, Rupa Goswami had a dream. And in that dream, a beautiful female feature appeared and instructed him to not write one play, but that he should rather write two plays. One play about the Vrindavan pastimes and one about the pastimes of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. And then later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed the same. So Rupa Goswami did that. And he wrote two plays. One is known as the Vidakta Madhava, the other one is known as the Lalita Madhava. Here in the first chapter now, Rupa Goswami is asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai to present something from his play, the Vidakta Madhava. And they're discussing the Vidakta Madhava. And there are several verses quoted from the Vidakta Madhava throughout the verse, and then Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are discussing them. And it is very interesting. So by studying this chapter, and we're looking at the verses of the Vidakta Madhava, we very much get an insight into the mood of the intensity of love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna and her feelings of separation. After reading this chapter, to understand it a little better, it makes sense to read the Vidakta Madhava, because the chapter gives excerpts from the Vidakta Madhava and doesn't fully give the whole context of the Vidakta Madhava. So if you read the Vidakta Madhava, you'll actually understand this chapter slightly better. So I read the Vidakta Madhava many times actually, because it's very nice. So in the Vidakta Madhava, it is described how how Krishna is in the forest, and at the same time Srimati Radharani is also in that forest. Both are accompanied by associates. Srimati Radharani is accompanied by Vishakha, and Srimati Radharani is affected by Purvarag. Purvarag is previous attachment to the personality Krishna. So she's affected, and quite strongly affected. So she is going through intense feelings of separation. And Vishakha is thinking what to do. How can I help her to overcome this or relieve this a little bit? So Vishakha happens to be very expert at drawing. So Vishakha, she draws a picture of Krishna and shows this picture to Srimati Radharani in the hope that she'll get a little relief from all this separation. Then what happens is, as soon as Srimati Radharani sees the picture, it creates more turmoil, because she gets totally overwhelmed by that picture. And she is, now she is like overwhelmed by the impression from the remembrance of previous association with Krishna, Purvarag. And that's there. And now she has also a terrible attachment to this picture. I mean, she has such an attachment to the picture. It's not just, I love this picture. I just totally love this picture. This is my picture. It's more than that. This picture is just, it's Krishna. It's Krishna, and she's totally attached to the picture, completely. 100% attached to the picture. So the situation has only worsened. Meanwhile, Krishna is also in the forest, and Krishna is in the forest with Sridham, who is the brother of Srimati Radharani, and Madhu Mangal. And Krishna says, Krishna acts very cool. He acts like he's completely cool, but he's not. Krishna is also affected by Purvarag, but he doesn't show it. But he is, because at one point Krishna says to Sridham, he says, my dear Sridham, isn't it true that Srimati Radharani is the most beautiful girl in the entire universe? And Sridham is completely embarrassed, you know. And I mean, he's talking about his sister, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is a little too much according to etiquette. I mean, how can he say that? But Krishna, due to his ecstasy, completely forgot that Sridham was the sister of the brother of Srimati Radharani. And Mother Mangal goes like, yeah, it's his sister. Oh, what did I do? In this way, the Vidakta Madhava is unfolding. And then what happens is Krishna's separation is just getting too much. And at one point, he comes across a leaf. He comes across a leaf in the forest. And with red kumkum, the word Krishna is written on that leaf. And he can just understand who wrote that. He knows that it is Srimati Radharani who wrote this in separation. And then the separation in Krishna is just getting too much. The rag in him, the attachment, is getting so much that he just spontaneously takes his flute and he plays his flute. And when Srimati Radharani hears that flute in the forest, she goes, what is this sound? Stop this sound. What is this sound that is completely absorbing my mind? She said, I am the most unfortunate. I became simultaneously attached to three personalities. To that personality for whom I have attachment from before. To that personality of whom I've seen the picture. And now, to that personality who played the flute. Purushottaya, simultaneously attached to three personalities. I am most unfortunate. I better die because of this. And then Vishak said, no. It's one and the same. One and the same? In this way, Srila Rupa Goswami is describing the ecstasy that Srimati Radharani is experiencing, and he describes it to hot sugar cane. Hot sugar cane. Too hot to handle and too sweet to resist. These pastimes are too hot to handle and too sweet to resist. So this chapter, this Antya-lila chapter 1, is a very intimate chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is interesting then that after these chapters, in the next chapters, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins to deal with sadhachara. Proper Vaishnava behavior. It is about Damodar Pandit who took the liberty of correcting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he acknowledges him as the Supreme Lord. Or it is about Jagadananda Pandit, who is a junior and who starts instructing Sanatana Goswami, his senior, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this Jagga, he's just an upstart. Who does he think he is? Jagga is just a boy. I would even go to you for advice. And Jagga thinks he can instruct you. This Jagga, the upstart. He said, I will never accept anyone who doesn't adhere to Vaishnava etiquette. So in this way, in the next chapters, also Chota Haridas, who is as a sannyasi, not adhering to etiquette, and so on, and gets punished. Etiquette, the next chapters. Why? Because here in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj takes it up. He takes it up to very intimate emotions. But then he makes quite sure in the next chapters. That's all good and well, but do not get carried away now. Radhe, Radhe. Don't we on the spontaneous platform? No, one must adhere to Vaishnava etiquette at the same time. So he brings it back down within a framework of prescribed duty, so that sahajism cannot really develop. But meanwhile, we are now about to enter into the first chapter and relishing the Vidakta Manava. Then, the Lalita Manava is very interesting also, the second play, the one about outside of Vrindavan. Basically, what he writes, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan are in complete separation, the gopis and so on, their own total separation. And then what happens is, at one point, you know, we hear Radharani is on the verge of dying from separation and so on. At one point, they die. And then they reincarnate. And Rukmini is Chandravali. Chandravali comes back as Rukmini. And Radharani comes back as Satyabhama. And the same dynamics that were there. And now Chandravali, Rukmini, Chandravali, Rukmini, is there, and she is just coming, just as Satyabhama is meeting with Krishna. And because Satyabhama is the younger queen, then the senior queen is taking over, and you know, she has to go in the background again. And the same mood of separation, the same stolen moments are also there, present in Dwarka. So even in the Swakya, there is Parakya and Swakya. Parakya, the forbidden relationship of paramours in Vrindavan. Swakya, the marriage relationship, the one where, you know, once you have the ring on your finger, that something has changed. Now, before marriage, you know, every man holds his belly, right? Before marriage, every lady tries to look as if she is like just came from the heavenly planets. And after marriage, once the ring is on the finger, something changes. Then, you know, you let it all hang out. And now you have the ring, and now you have your obligations. So there is a difference between Parakya and Swakya, because in Parakya you have to always conquer again and again every moment. In Swakya, you know, now you have your duties, it is your dharma, you know, yes, you made the vows, you know, now you have to perform. See, but Rupa Goswami in his Lalita Manava is writing a whole hidden Parakya relationship into the Dwarka Lila as well. Very interesting. So these two plays are not so big, and they're worth reading. You can buy them in book form across the road from a certain shop, or you can also download them as from ISKCON Desire Tree. But by reading these books, certainly we'll understand the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a more complete way. I'll end now because I've used up the time for one lecture. So any question or comment?
You were telling this too hot to handle. I didn't understand what's the meaning. Too hot to handle is too sweet. How do you say it? Too hot to handle? What is the meaning? I guess I understand.
The sugar cane
is
when it is hot sugar cane, right? You have the sugar cane in the fire. It is hot and it's very sweet. And it tastes even better when it's hot. Yeah? But you burn your lips while eating it, or your tongue. Yeah? So in the same way, the pastimes of the love of God, on the one hand, is so sweet. And on the other hand, it's too hot to handle in terms of the separation. See, this separation element is the hot part. That is too hot. the love for Krishna is so sweet, but to feel the separation for Krishna, from Krishna so intensely, is just too hot. It's burning up everything. It's too hot. I mean, Radharani is lying on the bank of the Yamuna, and she is so heated, like fever from separation, that the gopis have made a bed of wet lotuses, so she can lie there to cool down, and they're fanning her with wet lotuses, just to cool her down. This is from the Hansa Dutta, that also from Rupa Goswami, the swan messenger, where Lalita goes to the Yamuna to bring a pot of water to make the lotuses dry up really quick, because she's so hot, the lotuses just become dry. So bring another pot of water and throw more water on these lotuses, keep them wet. And then Radharani is lying there burning in separation, and the lotuses are becoming dry. The other gopis are fanning with wet lotuses, dipping them in pots. The heat she's emanating is too hot. The separation is just too hot, and yet too sweet, that love of God. Get the mic, it's behind you, it's coming, you've got it, yes.
Speaking of Rupa Goswami, it's the right mic.
You speak for the TV.
While Rupa Goswami is writing this pastime, is he witnessing, seeing, or is he in trance? How is he able to see it?
Okay. Is Rupa Goswami seeing these pastimes? Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur makes an authoritative statement on this matter, and he says that in bhava, we are not just meditating on Krishna, Krishna is appearing in our meditation. Srila Rupa Goswami is therefore indeed able to perceive the eternal pastimes of Krishna. We find the same reiterated in the Bhakti Ratnakara, where several times it's described how Rupa Goswami is witnessing aspects of the pastimes of Krishna. We see the same in Srila Prabhupada, right, who was seeing Krishna. Yesterday, Shesha mentioned the story about Srila Prabhupada, and one person, challenging person, asking if he could see Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, because you are in the way. But the point is that Prabhupada was seeing Krishna. We know Rupa Goswami was seeing Krishna. Exactly, you know, if at times they were seeing Krishna, at times they were not seeing Krishna, at times they were feeling separation from Krishna. That is there. Radharani is not seeing Krishna. The six Goswamis are described as they're looking everywhere. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Hey, Rajadevi Gesa Lalite. Where is Krishna? In that mood of separation, always looking. But at other times, they were seeing Krishna. So like that, we should understand. We, of course, are not seeing Krishna directly, so we only know about those things theoretically, from what we read here and there, and then we puzzle the pieces together, and sort of, here it is. But if I was seeing Krishna right now, like what he's doing in the spiritual world, I would be able to tell you a little more than I'm telling you now. Now I just gave you a few pieces of what I've read, puzzled together. In the same way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the kirtan in Sri Vasangam is still going on today, and some are hearing it directly, and others are hearing it through the scriptures, and there is no difference, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said.
So it is an ongoing eternal pastime.
Ongoing eternal pastime, never ending. Nityajana. Microphone going there.
I don't know exactly how to ask this, but is this kind of hierarchy in the spiritual world? What is it? It's not the same as here, but how is it in the spiritual world?
Well, in Golok Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is still the foremost personality, but she has her competitors in the form of Chandravali and others, and they all have their parties and assistants, and all these arrangements are there for the pleasure of Krishna. So there are the relationships are not casual. I mean, in the spiritual world, when one meets a superior, one might offer arati. Right? I mean, part of the culture is to offer arati, like the whole puja. Right? It's like there are very much there's very much a hierarchy. So Lalita, she is older than Srimati Radharani. And therefore, Lalita is, as a senior to Srimati Radharani, she can instruct her. So Lalita is representing Guru Tattva. And Lalita is therefore, when Lalita says no, then Radharani cannot just do what she wants. So sometimes Lalita jumps in between, you know, and saying, this Krishna, he is such a devotee. What he's doing to you, he is just, you know, you are completely dedicating yourself with full faithfulness, everything you're giving to him, and he cheats you. He is not worthy of you. You come with me. She doesn't really want to, but, you know, she has to. So sometimes, and sometimes Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari has to interfere, and Rupa Manjari has to say, but she really wants to meet with Krishna. Oh, okay. Then she can meet. Then they'll meet at terms. So there is a whole hierarchy, and some of the younger gopis are messengers. They're assistants. Right? So some are assistants. Same with Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda, we read that, that Putana, because she gave Krishna milk, the breast, she gave Krishna milk, she also gave poison. But anyway, Krishna killed her and purified her from that evil intent and kept the good part. And then she got promoted to become like a mother of Krishna. And in the spiritual world, she is also a mother of Krishna. Then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, of course, a mother. She is a datri, she is a nurse. She's assisting Mother Yasoda, and she's one of the ladies who make all the arrangements for Krishna. She said, but then he says in the purport, you can imagine what Putana attained. He says, then what to speak of all those cows who were giving milk to the calves when Lord Brahma had stolen the calves in Kauravur. For 1 year, those cows gave milk to the calves. So they also became mothers in the spiritual world, those cows. But closer than Putana. They do more intimate things. Putana may prepare the bathing water and put the towels ready and stuff like this, but the cows who became mothers, they get more personal dealings. Like that. They're even closer. And Rohini is still closer, but no one is as close as Yasoda. When Krishna and Balaram don't want to come home when they play, only Yasoda can do it. Only Yasoda can tell them, now it's time to go, and they come. Otherwise they don't come. So there's a hierarchy based on love. It's just on love, and everybody knows it. Who has the greatest love? And in this way, there's a whole hierarchy going on in the spiritual. But it's not on stars and stripes. It's the hierarchy based on love. But they do follow etiquette in that they accept that and they are offering respect and